Hi, I'm Solara Starr and welcome to the Solara Starr podcast. With over 20 years of experience, I've had the privilege of working with thousands worldwide and sharing my expertise across various media platforms. This podcast is your go-to resource for mastering manifestation and unlocking your ultimate magnetism. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode and let's dive in. And a very warm welcome back. Solara here. Great to be back with you. I have something slightly different planned for today. And this has been inspired by a couple of listeners who have written in with challenges that they are experiencing. And I thought that it would be really useful to share my answer to them in the hope that it will help you too. And what's great about these particular challenges that I'm going to share is there might be different scenarios, but some of the underlying patterns you might find familiar and looping over and over again in your own life too. So thank you to those who took the time to write in. I know that being in these positions and these patterns and looping can be difficult and incredibly frustrating, but you've done the right thing by reaching out. And what's been really, really interesting is as I take a look at these two different scenarios, they look completely different on the surface. To start with, the different sexes live in completely different parts of the country, different ages, different lives, different situations. But underneath it, they're pointing to something very similar. And that is the space between where you know what's going on, as in you see the repetitions, you know you're looping, you kind of know what is going on, but you're still finding yourself in these patterns. And the annoying thing is this time you are aware that you are in the patterns as you are in the patterns. Whereas before, you were probably unaware that it was even going on. You couldn't see what you couldn't see. You didn't know that you were living in the challenge, but now you're living in it fully awake, fully aware, and a whole host of emotions come with that at the same time. So bringing these real life scenarios to you and walking through what's actually happening underneath them could be super useful. You may very well hear or see parts of yourself in some of these. So the first one is from Sophie. So Sophie, thank you so much for taking the time to write in. Sophie lives in London and Sophie is in the corporate world, a very high achiever and is experiencing burnout in her love life and in her life generally. And I'll read to you what Sophie says. She says, "Hi Solara, I've been listening to your podcast for about a year now and honestly it's one of the only things that actually makes me stop and think rather than just consume more content. So on paper, my life looks really good. I've got a solid job in marketing. I live in a nice flat in London. I've got great friends. But internally, I feel absolutely exhausted. I'm constantly holding everything together. And where I'm really struggling is in my relationships. I keep attracting men that are emotionally unavailable. At first, it feels so exciting. There's chemistry and all the stuff that comes with that. But then I'm the one that's overthinking. I'm the one that's constantly looking at my phone, waiting for messages, and generally just question everything." And Sophie says, "I know this pattern. I've lived it for a long time. I've journaled on it." She said, "I've even tried to take some advice from some law of attraction coaches saying, and I've raised my vibration. I've even taken breaks from dating, but I just keep ending up in the same dynamic. It's exhausting. It's like I can see what's happening, but I can't stop myself from getting pulled into the same cycle time and time again." She says, "My question is, how do I actually break a pattern like this on an energetic and subconscious level? Not just understand it, but stop recreating it." First of all, Sophie, I hear you. That is so challenging. And I also want to reassure you that what you are experiencing is also really common, but not in the way that people normally talk about it. So let me explain. This isn't generally about you attracting the wrong men. What you've already identified is that this is a pattern that's being recreated from within you, even if you aren't consciously aware of it, but you are physically and emotionally exhausted by it. So this is one of the parts where this is about nervous system familiarity. you don't just end up with unavailable men. There is a part of your nervous system that actually feels familiar with this dynamic, even if you don't want it. It's a familiarity that is keeping you attracting the same feeling of the waiting, the feeling of uncertainty, the feeling of have to earn love or to try and figure somebody out. That's not new to you. That was a nervous system program that happened and was established when you were younger. So the waiting, the uncertainty, and that feeling of having to earn love, I would like to look at where that pattern and that feeling first started from when you were a little girl. What kind of situations happened? How familiar is that feeling when you now look at it from an inner child perspective at events that happened when you were growing up? So that's the first thing to note, is this is not new to you whatsoever, but it sounds like you have a lot of awareness. You probably know that anyway. So even though your mind is saying something like, I just want something stable, I want deep connection, I want to feel safe, I want something that feels real, your system is still wired to respond to the intensity, the unpredictability, that emotional distance, because it sees it as something not only familiar, but something meaningful too. So now I just want to take you back a layer slightly deeper, because this is where your power actually lies. This isn't just about what you're attracting from the familiarity perspective. It's also what is being mirrored back to you, because a wound will always attract a like wound. So we hear about like energy attracting like energy. We hear about wounds attracting similar wounds. So two people are brought together based on similar nervous system programming. And this is where I want to be really clear. So this isn't about blaming anybody. This is definitely not about shaming anyone too. This is just about using these relationships as a mirror to give you a clue of where it is that you need to go within in order to grow. Because if you keep attracting emotionally unavailable people, there's a likelihood, and this is something that only through, you know, one-to-one conversations I could explore deeper. So just see how this lands for you. If there is a part of you that is emotionally shut off and unavailable too, that's not because you're the ice queen or that you're cold. A part of you's had to shut off in order to protect yourself, because perhaps growing up, if you were to show emotion, it was either dismissed or shut down or inconvenient or not heard. So you had to learn how to adapt in order to protect yourself, which is great when you're younger, but when you're grown up and you're wanting to have closer connected relationships, it can stand in the way. It can kind of feel like you're sabotaging something. And it's not always obvious either. And that's why we have to sometimes experience same situations over and over again until they finally start to get our attention. So we know that you are worthy of love and that you deserve love. It's just, how do you get your nervous system to not sabotage love when it comes your way? How can you start to recognize real love and real stability and real depth? That is when you are going to be able to start attracting different type of partners into your life. And a lot of the stuff that we're discussing is very, very subtle. It's often unconscious. That's why the only way we know that it's going on is by these repetitious patterns and cycles that we keep experiencing. So your awareness that this is what's happening in the first place is very powerful. So I would invite you to explore, where is it that you maybe dismiss your own emotions, or where do you override how you feel? Perhaps just to keep things moving. Where do you abandon yourself? It might just be self-abandonment in perhaps ways of people pleasing, overworking, pushing yourself too hard, maybe even the way that you speak to yourself, not taking time out to look after and connect with you. Because often these patterns that we are speaking about, they show up in how we love and look after ourselves. They show up in how we show up for ourselves too. And then in turn, that is then mirrored back to us in life and in this particular situation, relationships. So let's just say that you grew up in a household where emotions weren't fully seen. They weren't fully heard, they weren't fully held, or they were just a nuisance. And any emotional depth or emotional safety just wasn't there, or if it was, it was inconsistent. And this can show up in some ways, like I hear some parents saying, don't be silly. And, you know, come on, like there's people in the world who've got it much worse than you have. And, you know, on the surface, these kind of responses can seem pretty innocent. But actually, over a period of time, we start seeing that actually, or we start feeling that my emotions are a problem. I'm oversensitive. I am a nuisance, or there's something wrong with me because other people have it much worse than me. And then as a result of that, we start to abandon ourselves emotionally, because we believe that having our emotions in this way is a negative thing and it is bad. So we learn different ways to adapt in order to be accepted, stay connected. And even if that means disconnecting from ourselves, we will do what it takes to keep ourselves safe. And now this pattern is playing out in your relationships. So yes, a part of this is recognizing that this feels familiar because my nervous system knows about this. But the next step is then recognizing this is also a mirror showing me where I'm not fully available to myself. And this is where you start to break the pattern, when you learn to start becoming more emotionally available and supportive to yourself, and not trying to force different outcomes either, but by becoming someone different at the level of your emotional terrain and your emotional energy and towards yourself in relationship. So I'd invite you into the next couple of steps. The first is the awareness, which you've already got, which is great. So when you feel that pull, when you feel that mix, that familiar mix of energy, anxiety, and excitement, that is absolutely your moment. Your moment to recognize it, your moment not to judge it, of course, but to recognize this is my pattern activating in real time. So now you've already got this amazing awareness. You can take this awareness to a slightly deeper level. So instead of just following automatically, you over time, you learn to have a bit of a mindful pause, if you like, where you can check in with yourself. What am I feeling right now? And what is it that I actually need in this moment? What are my emotional needs? And that's you starting to become more emotionally available to yourself. That in itself is emotional connection with self. It's a journey unto itself. But as soon as you start making the smallest steps to connect to yourself on this level, the type of people you attract into your life will begin to shift as well. So this is also about recognizing, yes, that these were established, these patterns were established when you were younger. Absolutely. And I'm a great believer in doing some of the deeper inner work, because some of these patterns can be so deeply ingrained that it is important to go on a deeper healing journey to root those out, so you're not constantly sabotaging yourself or having to work extra hard to effectuate change in that way. But also from a manifesting perspective, it's also important to look forward. So do the deeper healing, absolutely, to stop yourself from looping, but also moving forward by understanding the pattern, but also understanding who you are beyond the pattern. It's like giving your mind a focus on where your point and arrow, who is it that I am becoming? Who am I beyond this fear? Who am I beyond this continuous battle and this continuous traumatic internal fight? Who am I? So let's just say you don't have any of that anymore. Who am I when I'm no longer operating in this pattern? Is a really great way to get to know the you that has already overcome this? And another great question that you can ask is, how does that version of me feel about herself? What does she tolerate? What does she no longer entertain? What kind of connection feels more normal to her? So it's two part, because this version of you that has already overcome it, who feels safe, who feels secure, who feels emotionally available to herself, doesn't feel drawn to any form of inconsistency in the same way. It's not even in her scan. It doesn't feel exciting. It feels misaligned. And that's when you know that you have made that shift, because the relationship you actually want, it won't activate your anxiety. It will invite you into a level of calm that your system might not fully trust yet. So your work right now isn't just finding someone different. It's becoming someone who recognizes the pattern as it's happening, which you're already doing, meets herself emotionally in those moments, which could potentially be your next step if you haven't been doing that yet. Deeper healing, which I think is very, very important. And starts aligning with a version of yourself who no longer confuses emotional unavailability with connection. And when these pieces start to fall into place, the pattern doesn't just change. It stops feeling familiar. It stops feeling like home, and you create a whole new and beautiful energy in life to explore. And you attract wonderful things into your life as a result of that. So Sophie, I hope that helps, my love. Let me know if you have any questions. And equally, I'm available for one-to-one if you want to take a bit of a deeper dive in figuring out where this first began. But equally, if you want to explore who I am beyond this, then I'm available for all of that too. And the next one we've got now is Mark. And Mark lives in Manchester. And Mark is divorced. He's rebuilding his life and he is exploring healthy masculine energy, which I just think is absolutely amazing, Mark. I think the more men and women explore that healthy masculine energy, because we've got a mix of both within us, I think that this world will become a much more stable and balanced place. So I got really excited when I read your message that you are exploring it. And Mark says, "Hi, Solara. I came across your podcast after my divorce last year, and it's been a bit of a lifeline, if I'm honest. I was married for 18 years, and looking back, I can see I lost myself quite a bit in the relationship. I became very focused on keeping the peace, avoiding conflict, and trying to be what I thought was a good husband and what a good husband should be. Now I'm on my own. I'm trying to rebuild, but I feel a bit unsure of who I actually am, especially when it comes to relationships. I've started dating again, but I notice I either hold back completely or swing the other way and become overly accommodating. It doesn't feel honest and it doesn't feel very authentic. I've heard you talk about healthy masculine energy and it really resonated, but I'm not entirely sure what that looks like in practice. So my question to you, Solara, is how can I start stepping into a more grounded, healthy masculine energy in my everyday life, especially in dating, without slipping back into old patterns of people-pleasing or shutting down?" Well, thank you, Mark. First of all, I just want to acknowledge how mammoth it is after an 18-year relationship and needing to find yourself again and to rebuild. It's massive that you are even having this conversation. So I just want to say I take my hat off to you for being willing to show up for yourself in this way. And what you've shared, it does show a really strong level of awareness, especially around the people-pleasing behaviors, the keeping the peace, the avoiding conflict, and trying to be what you thought would be a good husband or what a good husband should be. That takes real honesty to be able to see that. And if I'm really honest with you, there is some evidence of some nice guy tendencies in what you have shared too. But I think you kind of know that. You know, that pattern of people pleasing and shaping yourself and shifting yourself in order to maintain harmony. That does often come from a deeper place where being agreeable felt safer to you than being fully expressed. So just like Sophie, a lot of this will go back into your younger years where perhaps it wasn't safe for you to express yourself, or when you tried, it was frowned upon or shut down. And the only way that you learned to get your needs met was by learning to people please and to be agreeable. And it is so common. It's uncomfortable when you realize actually that these patterns are sabotaging your life and your relationships. But at least now you know you can do something about it. So just like Sophie, I would probably explore some of the dynamics in your household when you were growing up and how these different adaptations served you, but now it's actually starting to sabotage you. So at some point in your life, you likely learned that being yourself, being honest, being emotional, expressing yourself, it came at a cost. And you quickly learned how to protect yourself and how to shut that down. And that's the adaptation that I'm talking about. You became what was needed in that environment to survive, to keep the peace, to stay safe, to stay connected. And that probably worked for you. And a lot of these adaptations, they do work because they do keep us safe, but it does get to a point where they no longer are required, they no longer keep us safe, they actually create more separation and distance. So now you're in the space where everything familiar to you after your divorce, of course, has shifted. The relationship is no longer there. There's a big grieving process that comes with endings as well. So I'd also invite you to explore the grief. Maybe you've already done that. So for those listeners who relate to Mark, maybe you haven't gone through a process of allowing yourself to be present within the grief, be present within the anger, within the feelings of feeling let down or any shame you might feel around it. Not to stay there, of course. It's just when you feel, you heal, and allowing yourself to go through these. So becoming that safe space for yourself to feel and express emotions is very, very important. Otherwise, we are just reliving the environment that we grew up in when we weren't allowed space to be able to feel and express in that way. But what happens, Mark, is after you go through such a massive shift like you have, you almost lose your identity, because your identity was being a family man, was being married. And now that you're on your own, it's like finding yourself again, finding who you are beneath all of those constructs. And that can feel unsettling. It can also feel a bit discombobulating, because you no longer are molding or orientating your life around your marriage and someone else. You're having to find out who you are. And that is exactly where your work is right now. And it sounds like you're doing an amazing job at it. You mentioned that in dating, you either hold back completely or you go the other way and you become overly accommodating. Those are both protection mechanisms. So these particular behaviors, they're not random. They're intelligent responses from your nervous system that is trying to get a deeper need met. So whether that deeper need is just wanting to feel safe, seen, heard, whether it's needing to be approved, if it's needing connection, or if it's maybe even trying to avoid rejection, there's a deeper need that is being sought here in these protective behaviors. So the real question isn't just like, how do I stop doing this? How do I stop repeating these patterns and cycles? How do I stop swinging from one extreme to the other? The real question is what am I actually needing in those moments? What am I looking for? Because if you don't know what you need, you're going to try to get that need met externally and often through these people-pleasing behaviors, if you like. It's kind of called covert contracts. It's something I wasn't familiar with until I read the book No More Mr. Nice Guy. I know you're probably thinking, why is Solara reading the book No More Mr. Nice Guy? There's actually a lot of really useful wisdom in that book for men and women alike. There's quite a lot of it I don't actually agree with, but there's quite a lot around the people-pleasing and the covert contracts that I actually found really interesting. So it's definitely worth a read, but there's certain parts of it that I'd like to have a discussion with the author just to kind of pick a few things apart from a healthy masculinity perspective. So the covert contract side of things is also really important. A covert contract is when subconsciously we give or we do things or we behave in a certain way with an unspoken expectation that something will be returned to us. We're looking for something in return emotionally, in other words. So I don't know, you might be overly accommodating, hoping that she'll choose you and approve of you and want you more. Or you might hold back, hoping to protect yourself from rejection. And you might even shape your behavior, hoping that you might feel secure. Can you see how we end up looking for something in these protective behaviors? Because it's not, we don't know what's going on to start with. So we can't express it clearly. And when we are feeling around in the dark because we don't know what is going on for ourselves on this deeper level, everything just starts to feel more misaligned. Everything starts feeling more unstable and insecure. And because we're feeling unstable and because we're feeling insecure, we then go into more desperate attempts to get our needs met. But ultimately, it doesn't meet the need. So part of your next step is building this awareness in real time. So like I said, there was similarities between you and Sophie. It's like a pattern interrupt. So when you notice yourself starting to either adjust, hold back, overgive, if you can inject consciousness into those moments, it's not always easy and it takes a bit of practice, but if you can pause in those moments and ask yourself, what is it that I am feeling right now? What is beneath this behavior? What is really going on here? It's not really about me adapting. It's not really about me giving or holding back. What am I actually feeling right now? And then being really honest with yourself about what you're feeling. It might be, well, actually, I'm feeling a fear that I might be rejected, or I feel that I'm not loved unless I do X, Y, and Z. And then when you know what that is, you can ask yourself, well, what is it that I actually need right now? And again, this takes practice because we're not used to meeting our own needs. But you can start exploring with that. Well, what is it that I need from her? What is it that I'm looking for? I'm looking for reassurance. I'm looking for love. What am I actually looking for here? And how can I learn to be more honest with myself about what I'm looking for? How can I give myself what I'm looking for? And how can I be more honest in a relationship about what I'm looking for? And this is where everything begins to change. Instead of abandoning yourself in those moments, you start to learn how to connect with yourself. And this is where you can go that layer deeper, because this is where it's likely that a part of you, so that little boy who learned to people please, who learned to shut down as a way to stay safe, as a way to stay loved, as a way to stay connected, that part of you, Mark, is still there. It hasn't gone anywhere. That's why inner child work is so important, because that little boy inside of you, he's still responding. Bless his little heart. He's still trying to protect you. He's still using the same strategies that he learned back then. But he doesn't realize that you're all grown up now. He doesn't realize that what it needs right now can only come from you. It's never going to be able to come from outside of you. And it's always going to feel like a thirst you can't quench. Because this is where you need to come back to you. Eventually, your relationships will begin to mirror that. Because once you start learning to meet yourself on that deeper, more honest, more authentic level, you're going to start attracting people into your reality who also have those qualities, or at least are willing to work towards that. And your relationship can also help heal the wounds from your past by showing you something completely different that is available to you. And to me, this is where all the real work lives. It's not just about behavior change, but it's healing that part of you, letting him feel seen, letting him feel safe, letting him feel heard, letting him know that he no longer has to perform or adapt just to be accepted or just to be enough. Because as that part of you begins to heal, begins to feel safe, and begins to settle, your energy is going to absolutely stabilize. And this is where the healthy masculine energy comes in. And no, it's not about over dominating or manipulating or controlling others, but it is about becoming a steady, stable, dominant presence, first of all, in your own life, about leading yourself, about taking responsibility for your emotions, about learning how to feel them, how to process them in a healthy way, how to express them in a healthy way. So no matter what is happening around you, you can hold yourself steady and you can hold yourself firm. It's a bit like a riverbed holding a river. Of course, the water is your emotions. They can move, they can rise, they can fall. They can be like a bubbling brook one day and a torrent of water and rushing through the next day. But the structure, the riverbed, it remains strong. And that's what you're building, is a strong internal terrain. Because just going back to the people pleasing just for a moment, when you are in people pleasing mode or when you're in avoidance mode, there is always a need, a fear and anxiety underneath it, which creates that instability in your system. And that instability will always impact how you're showing up, not just for yourself, but in relationship. And that's why this work is really important. And in practice, it could look something like this. So saying yes when you actually mean yes. And that might feel awkward. It might feel weird and clunky at first. You might even feel guilty. Just have awareness around what comes up. It might mean saying no when you mean no. It might mean not over-explaining yourself just to be understood by somebody else. But most importantly, it means staying connected to yourself in those moments where you would normally abandon yourself for approval. So catching the pattern in real time and choosing differently is what is going to take you out of these patterns and cycles. And it's not about getting it right and being perfect. It's going to feel weird and clunky, and you're probably going to be challenged by this whole process a few times. But it's just being willing to show up differently, being willing to show up more consciously, because you're no longer trying to be liked at the expense of yourself. You're becoming somebody who likes himself. Somebody who is real and honest with himself. And yeah, that does mean getting comfortable with the fact that not everybody's going to like you. But the trade-off will be that you not only get to be unapologetically you, you get to enjoy more people who like you for the you that you are, and more people that are more authentic and respect you and your boundaries. So the question I'm going to leave you with, Mark, is can you start showing up as an emotionally available man who honors and respects his own feelings and truth, even when it feels uncomfortable? Because that's where your next level is. This isn't about becoming somebody completely new and different. It's just moving away from patterns and behaviors which are keeping us looping in old patterns and behaviors, and keeps attracting more and more of the same thing. It's the oscillation in the rocking chair type feeling. This is about finally becoming who you have always been beneath all of these mistruths and beneath all of these patterns. I want to say thank you so much to Sophie and Mark for writing in. I did have one more, but time-wise, I'll probably save that for another future episode. And for now, I just want to say thank you for tuning in. And like Sophie and Mark, if you would like some advice or some help, or you have a question, feel free to write in to solara@solarastar.com. I would love nothing more than to be able to help. And I will be back with you the same time next week. Anyway, take care. Bye for now. Thank you for tuning in to the Solara Star podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, make sure that you hit subscribe so that you never miss out. And you can stay connected with me on Instagram @SolaraStar. And for even more inspiration and explore my courses and coaching @SolaraStar.com. You deserve to live a deeply connected and fulfilling life. And it's only you that can make it happen.